Okay, so before I start, I'm just going to say I have to cut out of here pretty quickly. So if you do have any questions for me and you don't catch me on the way to the airport, just send me an email. I'll be happy to discuss anything with you. So this study was done in part in collaboration with the EPA, Mark Johnson, as well as Jeff Novak and Gilbert Sigwa, who Jeff is here with us today. So if he has any questions about if you have any questions about the soil chemistry, I'm just going to refer right to him. But a little bit about the experimental design and an introduction. So the coastal plain of South Carolina, basically the eastern coast, it's a very sandy soil for the most part, and we get a lot of compaction, which inhibits root penetration. They're very sandy soil, so we get a lot of the water retention is low, and we get a lot of leaching of nutrients as well. And so we're trying to find ways to improve the nutrient holding capacity, the water holding capacity, aggregation, so we can get better root penetration. And so biochar as a soil conditioner is one of the options that we're pursuing. Now, as most of you probably know, biochar, from an economical standpoint, is kind of hard to get that math to work. So we're working with locally available feedstocks, and so poultry litter and pine chip are two things that we have in plenty in South Carolina. So for the study, we looked at those two feedstocks, and we also looked at two soils as well, the Coxville and the Norfolk, which are endemic to the region. Now, if we look at the Coxville soil, it is more acidic, and it has a higher soil organic carbon content. And if we look at the feedstocks, they are two very different feedstocks. The poultry litter is a very basic feedstock. It is lower in carbon, but it is higher in nitrogen, so the C-to-N ratio between the two feedstocks is widely different. So we're actually working with some blends of these to try and get the right characteristics into the soil. Before I talk about that, for those that are actually interested in how we came about producing the biochar, we took the feedstocks, we hammer milled them into 6 millimeter flakes, did slow pyrolysis, 350 degrees for about a residence time of 2 hours, and then we ground it into dust before mixing it into the soil. I should mention that this is actually a portion of the study. We actually also, Jeff and Gilbert, looked at pelletizing and putting that into the soil, but for the PLFA work and trying not to sort pellets out and stuff like that, I just worked with the dust. So we had blends. So I'll be showing you 5 treatments. One is our control, unamended soil. And then we went everywhere from 100% pine chip to 100% poultry. And then we also looked at 2 blends, 80 to 20 pine chip to poultry litter, and then a 50-50 poultry litter pine chip blend. Everything was added to the soils in a 2% amendment rate. And then we did a pot. This is a pot study. We had an incubation 70 days, and we had 2 leaching events at 30 and 60 days time frame. At the 78 day, we destructively sampled for our analyses. So results, now the arrows are pointing down, but actually, as you can tell, we're getting an increase in pH. That's not surprising given the basic nature of the poultry litter. So as we continue to add poultry litter, we get an increase in pH. That is more pronounced in the Norfolk soil than it is in the Coxville soil. We get almost 2 units increase in the Norfolk soil. So it goes from slightly acidic to a basic. The soil organic carbon, it's highest in the Coxville in the 100% pine chip addition. It slowly decreases as you add poultry litter. And then in Norfolk, we get a spike in soil organic carbon at the 100 to 80 to 20 ratio. Not surprising. So if we look at plant available nutrients, a pattern emerges for both the Coxville and the Norfolk. So once we get to that 50-50 poultry litter pine chip mix, we start to see statistically significant differences in these nutrients. That becomes obviously more pronounced in the 100% poultry litter. So if we just look at the fold increases between the Coxville and the Norfolk, the patterns are roughly the same. But the fold increase differences, the fold increases are different between the two soil types. So for the calcium, we have a roughly 2-fold increase for the Coxville, 3 for the Norfolk. The potassium, they're pretty close together. Magnesium, anywhere between 3 and 6-fold difference. Sodium, we have roughly a 12-fold increase in between the control and the 100% poultry addition. And the one thing that really does stand out is the phosphorus. So we have roughly a 3-fold increase in the Coxville soils, but that actually bumps up to 22-fold increase over the control in the Norfolk. So getting to the biological data, we did PLFA for this portion of the study. And so this is just showing total PLFA as a ratio to the carbon 16, the C16. And so the Coxville, it's pretty straightforward. As you continue to actually add poultry litter, we get an increase in the total PLFA. At the 50-50 to 100% poultry litter, those are statistically significant over the control. The Norfolk is a little bit different. We actually get total PLFA peaking at the 80-20 pine chip to poultry litter, and then it drops off as we continue to add poultry litter into the mix. So trying to suss out some of the what's going on with the microbial communities, we looked at some of the ratios. And so actually looking at the fungal to bacterial ratios, there was really no significant changes on the treatment. So, and I'll show you actually the relative abundances of these populations, and which kind of explain what's going on. There is actually things going on, but the ratios are staying somewhat consistent. And if we look at one of the indicators of bacterial stress, and we look at the saturated versus monosaturated PLFAs, those ratios in Norfolk actually drop, which seems to indicate that these organisms are experiencing a little less stress than they are in the control. And so potentially, given the low organic carbon that is in the Norfolk soil as a matter of course, adding biochar may actually be helping those organisms and reducing some of the stress levels that they experience. So looking at the groups overall, we see, as I mentioned, the fungal bacterial ratios aren't affected, and the fungi stay relatively static throughout all of the treatments. And essentially what's happening is we're seeing all the movement and the relative abundances in the gram-positive to gram-negative groups. And they followed a very static trend. So as we increase the amount of poultry litter biochar, we're getting a decrease in the gram-positive organisms, and we're seeing an increase in the gram-negatives. So, and that happened for both the Coxville and the Norfolk soils. So if we looked at each PLFA individually and then did ordination analyses, something actually I think was pretty interesting shows up. So along the second axis, so the two soils are split on the primary axis. That's basically driven by pH and SOC. Which isn't surprising given the differences in the soils. But most of the second axis is driven by biochar addition. Now, the Coxville soil is over here on this side, and so on the second axis, we don't see as much movement as the Norfolk does. And so the main drivers, if we actually look at some of the correlations, the main driver on the second axis is phosphorus. So phosphorus, along with zinc, magnesium, and calcium, is driving a lot of these differences in the bacterial population. Or they're not driving; they're correlating with the bacterial populations. So the Norfolk has a wider dispersion along that second axis. And part of the question is part of this due to the lower organic carbon content? Because the Coxville does have that higher SOC, and we're wondering if there is a potential for that to have an increased buffering capacity, and so and protecting those organisms from this wide shift in nutrient availability. So conclusions. If we look at so basically when a lot of people are looking at biochar addition to the soils, they're being designed basically with physical and chemical properties in mind. And so, as a microbiologist, I really think that we need to start considering the biological content of the soil series as well. The microbial content is responsible for pathogen suppression, nutrient cycling. And so while certain biochars may actually help the chemical properties, are we actually going to be harming the soils by detrimentally doing things that are detrimental to microbial populations? So we really need to start considering that. In addition, we also believe that it's possible to use locally available feedstocks to keep the cost down in these when we do use biochar as an amendment. For the poultry litter, we saw high levels of soil phosphorus as well as some of the other malic extractable nutrients, but it doesn't really seem to stress the microbial communities in this study. We did see, as I mentioned, we saw strong relationships between the soil communities and soil pH and SOC, and then several of those malic extractable nutrients. And so POT studies, they're a nice initial course, but we have begun field trials using these blends and several other treatments as well. So hopefully over the course of the next couple of years, we'll be able to present some of that data to you. And with that, that's all I have. So.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.